Grace and peace to you from our triune God, a God who continues to make all things new, who accompanies us through sorrow and joy, death and life, thick and thin, and who empowers us to accompany others on the way. Amen.
Amen.
Imagine for a minute, if you can, Jairus, a synagogue leader. More important, though, in our gospel story today, a father. Father of a 12-year-old daughter who is near death. Imagine his fear, his anxiety, and sense of powerlessness as he begged Jesus to come lay hands on her so that she would be made well and live. Imagine, too, the mother, not mentioned until the end, who was probably at the little girl's bedside. Imagine what she must have felt and perhaps questions she might have asked as her child lay near death. Difficult for me to imagine, for sure. Yet I know there are those among us who have experienced similar situations. And I have certainly been called to provide support for worried parents and grieving parents. Jesus went as requested, and a crowd had already begun to press in around him there at the sea. Maybe it's hard for us to imagine a crowd that large right now, since we've been maintaining social distance for well over a year. But imagine a crowd big enough that you kind of have to fight your way through to get to your destination. Imagine that hemorrhaging woman finding her way to Jesus. And she did make her way. She reached out, approaching him from behind, and touched his clothes. And so his journey, Jesus' journey, took a detour. Imagine again all that the woman had been through and what she must have been feeling. I can't imagine bleeding, hemorrhaging for 12 years, being rendered unclean and banished from one's community. She'd spent every penny she had on health care, endured much under many doctors. And there were no curative results. Instead, she only grew worse. Imagine her loneliness and isolation, her fear of breaking cleanliness laws, as well as just not feeling well. Certainly, all of us at one time or another have experienced a sense of disconnection and isolation. And during this pandemic, maybe more so, but certainly during other times of life. Patients have felt the loneliness and isolation of being in the hospital when no visitors were allowed. Their families, too, felt the disconnect and frustration of not being able to be there for their loved one. Grieving, for many, has been put on hold, and rituals reworked or maybe non-existent. And who among us knows that loss of community, or who has felt the lack of a sense of belonging? Having heard about Jesus, this woman believed that if she just touched his clothes, she would be made well and be restored to her community. I imagine that it is hope, not despair, but maybe a little bit of both, that gave her the agency, that empowered her to do that, to reach out, to touch Jesus' clothes. And she did it unobtrusively, coming from behind, as I said earlier, hoping no one would see her. And I just wonder, what if she hadn't reached out? What if we don't reach out? But reach out she did. And so Jesus' journey to Jairus' home was interrupted as the woman felt healed And as Jesus felt power go out from his body, not seeing who touched his clothes, Jesus had to ask. The disciples, though, were dumbstruck. Really? How could anyone have seen who touched Jesus? And since there was such a crowd, maybe several people had touched Jesus. Although afraid and trembling, that woman fell down before Jesus and responded to his question. Responded with the truth that she indeed was the one who had reached out to touch him. In this typical Markan intercalated or sandwiched story, God's inbreaking realm is demonstrated in the healing of the hemorrhaging woman. For me, the icing on the cake comes when Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." This woman, who had lost all sense of belonging, not only is healed, but is welcomed into Jesus' family as he calls her daughter. It is a demonstration of God's affinity and compassion for the victim, the marginalized, and the broken. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus has to get back to Jairus' daughter. But because of the time it took, it's learned from others that the girl had died. It was suggested that Jesus not be troubled any further. But instead, Jesus provided reassurance to Jairus by saying, "Do not fear, only believe." And he continued on, only to find that the mourners had already gathered. Now, that's not such a bad thing. People had shown up, as was their custom, to mourn for the dead and perhaps support the family. Jesus, however, questioned the commotion and commented that the girl was not dead, only sleeping. And the gathering there, they responded with laughter. But nevertheless, Jesus, taking with him only the mother, the father, the three disciples, went into the girl, took her hand, and said, "Talitha kum, little girl, get up." And she did. This child was raised from the dead and restored to her family. She began walking, and they were all amazed. And Jesus left them with instructions. No one should know this. And he also asked them to give her something to eat. Catherine M. Schifferdecker, professor of Old Testament at Luther Seminary, writes, quote, "My friend Alan Paget speaks of miracles as signs of the inbreaking reign and realm of God. Jesus healed the diseases of many people, but he did not eliminate all disease. He stilled a storm on the Sea of Galilee, but he did not make all storms cease. And he raised Jairus' daughter from death, but he did not banish death. Plenty of people in Jesus' day still experienced the unimaginable loss of their children, and they continue to do so. Suffering is part of life and one of the marks of the church. But those miracles that the Gospels record were signs of the inbreaking kingdom of God that Jesus proclaimed." End of quote. We all have stories to tell of personal losses, trials, and tribulations, whether brought on by the pandemic or experienced at other times in life. Some of it is unimaginable, difficult to live with, as well as difficult to continue forward with. With God's help, we are finding our way through many and varied challenges of the pandemic, racial injustices, economic strife, and other things. And the unimaginable keeps on happening. What happened in Florida this past week, is unimaginable. And we lift up in prayer all those impacted by the collapse of that building. In the midst of all this, I pray that we, like the woman, dare to reach out and touch Jesus' clothes, in our own uncleanness or brokenness or need, and so find healing. Our dismissal today sends us out as the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, may we remind one another, and I use another quote, that in the midst of the suffering of this world, God in Christ is still working in this place and time to heal, to forgive, to mend broken hearts, and to make all things new. End of quote. And as the body of Christ, may we show up for one another. May we be present for those who need support. May we weep with those who weep. May we remember hope for those who have none. And may we reach out to all with love and respect. Amen. So now let us join together in the singing of the hymn of the day, ELW 617. We come to you for healing, Lord.